Welcome back to Set Apart Women podcast, where we demolish the lukewarm living and follow Jesus with all that we have.
Welcome, ladies. We are so glad that you've tuned in to Set Apart Women. Hello, my name is Laura Allred, and I'm with A Million Women. You can go to amillionwomen.org to find out about this once-in-a-lifetime movement this fall, October 12th, 2024, in Washington, D.C. We are believing and calling for a million Esthers from around the nation to meet us on the mall on October 12th to believe that America is going to turn back to God. So make plans to be there. Have your feet on the mall. Invite your friends, all the Esthers around the nation. Meet us for A Million Women. Go to amillionwomen.org to register today. Enjoy the episode. What's up? What's up, Set Apart Women? Welcome back to this wonderful podcast. Whether you're joining us from YouTube or you're listening on audio, we love you so much, and I just want you to know I'm super pumped because this season, your number one requested guest was the one and only co-host that used to be with me co-hosting this, my cousin.
Candace Hart, you guys. I am so excited to be back.
The dream team is back.
Oh, celebrate.
We asked you, I was asking you guys, who do you want to have as a guest? And they were like, Candace Hart. Y'all didn't say it like that, but that's how I read it. And so we're back.
I like it that way.
Yeah.
So I get to be your co-host today, and I'm so excited to join you, Jamie Lynn. I've missed this.
I know. I miss you. We are cousins and best friends, and we're talking about godly friendships today. Candace and I grew up together. We lived a lot of life together. We've learned the hard way and the good ways, and oh my goodness, we're still here. And it's I would say God has really trained and equipped us for this. Also, side note, I'm Jamie Lynn Wallnau, for those of you who don't know me, if you're tuning in for the first time, and I'm so happy that you're here, and our dream is for women to live set apart and to know Jesus and to follow him and become more like him, and we are really desiring to equip you as a believer in the things that God cares about and that are biblically grounded and rooted. And so also, before we dive into this episode, please go subscribe, like, share. We are totally dependent on your donations. We're a nonprofit as well. We have a whole ministry called Set Apart Women. We have retreats. We have conferences. We have free monthly mentorships. But our podcast runs solely on your donations. And we are so excited. We are raising money this year to help pay. We've never had a paid employee. And our dream is to raise funds, whether you're a monthly donor, one-time donor, whatever it is. If your business wants to sponsor an episode, visit setapartwomen.co today. And come join the beautiful adventure of living set apart. And go subscribe to our email list to hear all the radical testimonies that come out of this immaculate ministry.
It's been phenomenal. I remember some of the first times that we started recording together, and then what came out of that was not what we expected.
Never.
And I don't think we expected to take off as fast as it did, or for the in-person meetups to have such an impact.
Yeah. It's crazy. It's amazing what happens when you obey God. Candace and I, this used to be Set Apart Podcast, and then the Lord was like, change it to Set Apart Women Podcast. And then Candace came along as a guest, and I was like, Candace, you are so gifted. Do you just want to do this together? She's like, yeah. And then we were like,
I really just wanted to hang out.
Yeah, I know. I right?
Like, we're filming.
But isn't that what women
it.
Do?
Yeah.
I mean, we just want to hang out.
We want to, yeah, just get up together.
And so then it built into brunches, then it built into retreats, and then a conference, and now we're in year three.
I don't think I ever felt such a nervousness and a holy fear as I did our first retreat. There was something so, you know, like when you're getting ready to like jump or like a big roller coaster, or that kind of anticipation that builds. Mm-hmm. I remember I broke down in that room.
I remember that.
I was pretty sure I was just going to turn around and go home. But what God did that weekend, I think, changed so much, so many perspectives for me of how much he wanted to just get to his daughters and touch the women there.
Yeah. And it was so crazy. We knew we had this word for our first retreat. This goes with godly friendships. For our first retreat where we weren't going to be able to ask God for what he was going to do. We were just going to be able to thank him for the crazy things he did. Because when God is in the room, when the presence of God, when Jesus himself, when the Holy Spirit and his presence are in the room, signs, wonders, and miracles happen. It's not by our might. It's not by our power. But it's by the Spirit of the Lord that things happen. So at this retreat, we had women, I have chills, one girl who's like as tiny as my pinky finger got delivered of gluttony, okay? And one girl brought her vape pens forward, which brought more people's victory forward. Like,
yeah.
it's wild. Wow. Some people were like, I've never heard a teaching on living set apart. Like, and they, what's crazy is the women who continue to come back, like 75% of these women have come to every event and are part of our team. And we
and
get
training.
To see,
yes,
they're equipping. And then now they're going to open their homes and they're going to host our small groups in their town. And the fruit of their life from that first retreat to now is insane. But this is what's so powerful about that. And that's why we're doing this episode about godly friendships is when you come in, God desires you to go into community. Jesus sent people out in twos. Look, I will tell you, Set Apart Women would not be where it is if it wasn't for Candace. Jesus sent people out in twos so that we would keep going. There have been times where I'm like, I'm done. And Candace is like, you're not done. And Candace is like, I'm done. And I'm like, you're not done. And we keep showing up because the other person is showing up.
Oh, okay.
And in my weakness, God is strong through Candace. And Candace's weakness, God is strong through me for us to keep going. You were not meant to do life alone. And I just want to address this year more than ever, God is removing women who will answer the call from the cave. 2020 sent women into the cave, this cave mindset where we have no friends, we're alone. You don't even like hear sound wisdom because you're at home by yourself and you start being critical and judgmental. And that's Proverbs 18:1 that talks about those who are like isolated, don't even hear sound wisdom. And you can see that in people who are at home behind their computer commenting and judgmental and critical, and they're so deceived they don't even know they're doing it. But I say all that because God desires you to be surrounded by community who loves you, to have amazing friendships, women that are trustworthy, that are loyal, that are honorable, that talk about you incredibly behind your back, not incredibly horrible, but that talk about you in the way that you would, like, if you heard it, your heart would melt and you'd be like, I can't believe they see me. And that is why Set Apart Women exist. And that is our desire, is for you. Like, we literally created events. Like, you have zero excuse to stay in the cave. We created events online and we created events in person for you to be able to come and meet women who are wanting what you want, which is godly friendship.
And that's the difference right there. I think with godly friendships, we have anybody can get a friend. You can walk outside and you can pick somebody to hang out with and do life with. But it looks so different to have a godly, Christ-centered friendship.
Oh, yeah.
And to walk and do life with those people. And so if you are in that, I mean, I say let's dive in. If you're in that place and I love this because God brought us to at the right time where we had both come out of not isolation, but a time period of training alone with the Lord.
Yeah.
Like we both had been in intense alone time that felt kind of lonely.
Yeah.
But what was actually happening is God was getting rid of stuff that had to go and equipping us to come together because you can only amplify what you're around, right?
Yeah.
You can only, whatever you bring is amplified whoever you do community with. And so when we came together, it was like we had just come out of this training period. We were so excited to be running together that we weren't alone, but those things were prayed in and they were prayed for.
Yeah.
And I think it's so important to, like, right now, no matter where you are, even if you think you have, not like you think, I'm not doubting it, but even if you already have those godly friendships, to be praying what's next for them, for you. And those friendships can end if you're both not growing together.
Because
you get to a point sometimes where it becomes, I believe that, yes, we're supposed to be equally yoked with our husbands and our spouses, but I think that kind of equates, like, all relationships.
Oh yeah.
So like if it came to a point where like, hey, I stopped growing, but Jamie Lynn is going, I could hold her back. I could contaminate what the Lord is doing in you because I'm not growing with the Lord myself or I'm too dependent on you and only taking what you can
give.
Oh,
that's good.
But I have no overflow because I'm not spending time with the Lord. So all I'm doing is draining you while you're trying to go and God's calling you into all these other places.
Yeah.
And that does harm. So be continuously in prayer for those people and the friendships that are coming and the ones you already have in your life.
Okay, let's go back to something that you just said.
Yeah.
Because we clearly talk about having oil in your lamp.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to say it is a big pillar of Set Apart Women to serve. I serve men and women who have something that I want. And not because they can give me opportunity. That's not what I mean. I mean, like, Patricia King is my spiritual mama. I went and did an internship with her. And I served, and I watched her, and I learned from watching her, and I emulated what I saw because the fruit, she lives behind the scenes a biblical, holy life. She spends alone time with the Lord. She's disciplined. She gets vision from the Lord. She goes home. She has like a team that just like, it all happens. She speaks the vision now, and it happens because she was so faithful back in the day with all these small things that God gave her that now it's just bigger and bigger. But I serve her because I learned. But here's the thing. I can't live off of what she does. I had to learn that she is where she is, and she has the fruit she has because of what she does when nobody else is around. You could hear this 100 times and never do what we're saying and stay where you are.
Wow.
But with Candace, what's not fair is Candace could have all these crazy radical encounters with the Lord, and she could just be, and I could be like, yes, and I could be living off of it. And then I start telling everybody about her encounters, but I go home and I go to bed and I Netflix and I peace out and I get apathetic and I have no knowledge of the word of God, just taste from the oil of Candace, and it will come to ruin. It will come out one day that I am not set apart, that I do not have. When trouble hits and Candace is saying, hey, I know this is hard, but Jesus says, and I'm like, Jesus says, screw this Jesus. Like, I don't want anything to do with him. Why? Because I don't have the word in me to actually live the word when times are epic or when times are hard.
Wow. 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 Wow.
So I think that's something that in godly friendships is so important, is if you want godly friendships, one, you got to be that godly set apart woman who knows the word of God, who prays and is in relationship with Jesus, and you be the woman that you're wanting to attract. Because I can tell you right now, ain't nobody in my house, ain't nobody in my close friendship that's out there gossiping, that's out there slandering, that is prideful, that has bad, rotten fruit. Now, I'm not saying I don't disciple people who have that, right? There's a difference. I will mentor and disciple people as long as their heart is open and willing to turn to the Lord, and I'll help coach and teach and love and disciple women through that. But we're talking about like your inner circle, godly mm-hmm. friendship. Like, and how many times have you and I been like uncomfortably, I don't know that we've ever necessarily felt uncomfortable because we grew up together, but uncomfortably real, being like, hey girl, that ain't Jesus.
I love this because even as close as we are, there's going to be those times where it's like, so I don't want to hear it.
Yeah.
You know, but you need to hear it.
How many times have we said that to one another? I really don't want to hear this, but I'm so grateful that you're saying
but
this.
I need it. I want to elaborate, but first let's see. I want to explain something. You hit that. You said, yes, if you're constantly feeding from somebody else, the biggest danger in that is there's a lot of people who happen to be around, they just want to be around apostles and they want to be around prophets and they want to feed off that constantly. But we will stand before the judgment seat. And this is where it comes to, hey, you did all these things with me, but you did not know me.
Yeah.
And you did these things with me and you know me.
Yeah.
Like, just because you're in that circle doesn't mean that you know the Lord.
Yeah.
Like, you've got to make sure that this is you, that it's your oil that's coming from lamp, and you cannot get that from other people. That has to be from God himself, not the people you're hanging around. The people you're hanging around will help. But you said too that there's three types of friendships. We have mentorships, and that is typically when we are pouring into someone else or they're pouring into us.
And
I love having a good mentor.
The person that is mentoring, that I've learned, the way you can tell is like, if I'm talking more than they are, they're mentoring me. If they're talking more than I am, I'm mentoring them. Like, if they're not asking you how you are, if they're not in your life, which I don't let everybody into the details of my life, not to be rude, I'm a pretty open book, but there are things that I'm like I have my inner circle that prays for me, that reminds me of who God is. You know, there's things you just have to have wisdom on, but I can tell when a beautiful woman comes along, doesn't matter her age, and she just needs to be mentored. Mm-hmm. It's when she comes to me, she talks my ear off, and I don't mean that in a negative way. I'm saying like, and then I get to speak into that place and pray for her and love her and encourage her. I don't tell her, oh, I'm mentoring you. It just organically happens. And they don't know that I'm aware of, if they're listening to this podcast, no, they're aware. But do you know what I'm saying? Like,
no,
I think that's a good way to differentiate it.
Yes. No, there is. And then like even discipleship for training.
Yeah.
That very much should be apparent.
Yeah.
Like that's not as sneaky. And it's not that you don't have a friendship with someone you mentor, but they're not in your tight friendship. The Lord, our God and Jesus took three up to the mountain with him. during Transfiguration. He didn't take all 12 disciples.
Yeah.
So he had a circle, and then he had an inner circle.
I ain't taking everyone into my birthing room.
But the friendships we're talking about, the godly friendships, the ones you do life with, mm-hmm. iron sharpens iron.
Yeah, it does.
You're more equally yoked. Those are the ones that are going to keep running the race you are and will not just like pace with you, but push you.
Yeah, that's Proverbs 27:17, iron mm-hmm. sharpens iron. Yeah.
And so you have those. That's one thing I was looking at this week. I'm like, the Lord actually, I was going back over my notes. The Lord took me to Colossians 3. And I was like, Colossians 3, 12 through 17 is a perfect friendship.
Tell us what it says.
You want to see what it says? I'm going to break it down. So each verse, it says, since God chose you to be the holy people he loves, you must clothe yourselves with tenderhearted mercy, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. That makes you a good friend, but that's the friend you should seek out as well.
Yeah.
These are the people that you can tell that, like, yes, I want these qualities, but you better give those qualities.
Yeah.
Don't be the friend that's constantly draining the people around you. And have you ever been around somebody super negative?
Yes.
It's hard.
They're the hardest people to address. Can I just be real?
Yes, please do.
I'm a highest value in friendship is honor behind your back, mm-hmm. like, and being trustworthy. Like, I hate gossip. Now, that's not to say I don't have to repent every once in a while for realsies, but my friends will tell you they can trust me. And if I break that trust, there's a quick phone call of, hey, I remember there's this person I'm not even super close to. She told me she was pregnant, and I was pregnant at the time too. And I remember somebody was like, oh, so-and-so. And I was like, yeah, she's pregnant. And that is not the way I roll. Like, I don't even tell my husband when somebody tells me they're pregnant. And I texted her and I said, hey, I don't think I was supposed to tell you. I'm so sorry. Now, it's not somebody that would tell anybody anything like that. But I texted her and I was like, I just want you to know, I'm so sorry that I told somebody that you were pregnant and I don't think you've announced it yet. And I don't know what happened. Pregnancy brain, there's no excuse, but I always want to be somebody you can trust. And I'm sorry, like, quick to apologize. And so it's things like that, that are really important, but you will reap what you sow in these friendships.
100%.
Yeah.
That's what it even says. So the next verse is make allowance for each other's fault and forgive anyone who offends you. Remember the Lord forgave you, so you must forgive others. And mm-hmm. I actually typed really big. I was like, no offense. You know how we say that? Like, da 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 da, no offense. No, but seriously, we can't be offended at each other. And it has to be, if when you're in those friendships, be quick to forgive and quick to repent. I feel like that's a life thing.
Yeah, but can we be real?
Yeah.
Patricia King has an incredible book called Unoffendable. I heard her preach this message 4 times in person before she released the book. I bought 45 copies of the book to hand out for free to people because it's so good. So I highly recommend you going and listening to it. Because it's funny when you think you're unoffendable.
Oh, no,
and then somebody breaks it down and gives examples. And then I was literally forgiving 12 people in my head that had no idea that I had offense towards. Because she's giving examples of what that looks like. But here's what I want to say. One of the most uncomfortable things still to this day for me, I have some friends who are super sensitive. I'm not so quick to address them. I have to be way more tender. Now, Candace and I, if I talk to my friend Ashley the way that I talk to Candace, it would hurt Ashley's feelings. Candace, I can be like, hey girl, boom. And she's like, thank you. It's like, cha-cha, pop, girl, that wasn't God, you know, like, and it's like, hey, what's, you know, with Ashley, she's more tender. So I have to like pray about it and then go address her. I hope she's okay that I'm addressing this, but it's true. She's more tender. So I'm like, I know Ashley and her character and her heart, and she's more tender. Candace and I are more like bulldozers, and that's not like with one another. So then you have to like learn how to approach people. It's not easy to approach Ashley. It's not easy to approach Candace. What's easy is knowing they're still going to be there on the other side of however I show up and approach whatever to deliver hard news. And I've even had times in some friendships where I've had to be like, hey, like, if you can't call me out on my stuff, you cannot be this close to me anymore.
Yeah.
And that is painful. And then you have to like figure out, are we going to keep going? Like, are we going to remain close? Because this is my highest value. If you're not calling me out and you're saying, you know, something down the road, like, oh yeah, I saw that. And then you're like, oh my gosh, I would have heard you if you would have told me, you know, I've had hard conversations like that, and it strengthened friendships. And then it's also the person didn't like it, and so they didn't want to stay around, and that's okay. And so I just want to say, a godly woman is willing to have hard conversations because it's biblical. Like, you're willing to repent for when you're wrong, and you're willing to address, like, hey, when you said this, if the Holy Spirit doesn't take care of it first, because you should go to him first. Like, hey, Candace, when you said this, this really hurt my feelings. I don't want to have any offense. Can you speak into this for me? Like, help me understand where you came from. Yeah.
We've had those conversations. And it was last night. I said something, and I was like, hey, I need to ask you something. She goes, have you asked Holy Spirit? And I was like, no. I was like, I better go do that and come back. But I love that you say that. And there's certain things, and there's, I understand there are some people more sensitive, but it's very, we can take it. I don't know how to explain that. Like, if you know somebody's coming at you out of love, it doesn't mean everybody can come at you and criticize and you're going to change everything.
Yeah.
But I know that in that inner circle, the friends that I'm tight with will not only keep me accountable and push me higher, but I also don't feel like I have to walk on eggshells.
Yeah.
That doesn't mean I don't take care of their feelings.
Yeah.
But if I have to guard everything I say,
yeah,
because I feel like some it can be like they're looking for something.
Mm-hmm.
I've had friendships before where I felt like I couldn't share good news because that would get taken wrong.
Yeah.
And I couldn't, and I'm like, we want to be able to celebrate with our close circle. I want somebody who's not just going to look out for the things to pull, you know, to correct.
Yeah.
But also to celebrate.
Yeah.
There's
you
such
have
a big
fun
difference.
In your friendships.
Yes. And I'm like, if that inner circle, but I want to tell we have. You're always looking outward. So one thing I can say, like, you've held me accountable for several different things, and there's time where I've needed you to speak life into me. And you've spoke life into me in the good and the harsh.
Yeah.
And so I love that I can call you, one, to celebrate, and two, when I do need the life spoken into me, like, hey, this is, yeah. I'm struggling with this. I need you to speak God words into me.
Yeah.
I need you to tell me the absolute truth for life. And then would you help build me back up?
Yeah.
Because this sucks.
I've done the same with you. And this is what I want to say too about this. Cause this is a trap you can fall into that I think is super lethal and so deceptive in what we're talking about. First of all, you have got to make it a habit to go to the Holy Spirit first, literally about everything.
Amen.
Like in prayer, everything. And it doesn't mean that you're going to be perfect at it, but you need to, and it's okay to have a conversation with your girlfriends. Hey, when I call you, moving forward, I'm working on going to the Holy Spirit first. Always ask me what the Holy Spirit has said. First of all, you hear him. He wants to talk to you. When you seek him with all of your heart, you find him, right? And he will answer. But also, he may direct you to call a friend. And that's more so where it comes from. But I want to say, one thing I learned the hard way, really hard way, is I do not have one person in my life, including my husband, that I just share everything with. I don't gossip. I don't tell people's news to them. I don't call and say, I know I trust you. Okay, now don't tell anybody I told you this. But I don't uncover, like I used to do that all the time. And there was one friend, oh my goodness, our friendship was so amazing. And there was this one person I just super trusted. And I just remember processing, like you verbal processors, this is for you. You introverted processors, listen up so you can know how to speak and help protect and help your extroverted verbal processor friends, okay? There's not one friend that I go to and process everything with. That's so lethal. It's not fair to my husband. My husband doesn't need to hear a gossipy, naggy wife about her friends. Mm-hmm. Candace doesn't need to hear me call and complain and gossip. We don't do that. And let me just tell you this right now. If one of us was riding a fine line, we say something like, hey, can you pause for a second? Rewind. I don't know that I needed to hear that. You know, like, do you have the courage in your friendships? You can literally sit down with your girlfriends and say, hey, I am so sorry. I have dumped information on you that would have, if it would hurt the other person's feelings that you told them, you probably shouldn't have said it. Not because they're sensitive and easily offendable, but I'm saying like, you should be a trustworthy person when people aren't around. This is crazy. And for some people, this is hard, but I almost lost an entire friendship because I was dumping on this person and then she thought I was talking to other people the same way, right? I will say when I meet somebody, the way they talk about people, I know that's how they talk about me. In this case, back in the day, when I had this friendship, I didn't talk about everybody that way. I just dumped everything on her and I didn't go share any of that with other people. And then she got to a point where she was like, wow, you're probably talking about me like that. And I wasn't, but it hit me. God, this isn't your desire for friendship. And so I think that's something that I've also had to learn is I go to the Holy Spirit. Most of the time he takes care of it.
Yeah.
Or he'll send me to the person that I'm to process with. And that person is not the person that's going to be like, Jamie Lynn, you are right. You are so right. Mm-hmm. It's the person that knows the word, has a relationship with him, and will help me go, like, live that set-apart life in that situation. But also, don't you dare go to a friend and ask for quote-unquote advice and not live the biblical advice. Like, don't you be all pray for her, sister. And you're like, you don't go do the thing that you're, like, you wrestle it out and you go do it no matter the cost. Living set-apart is cost you everything. It cost you your comfort. It cost you your nerves. It cost you so much to live the word of God, because it's so against the world's views to be forgiving, to be humble, to be kind, to be peaceful, to be understanding. It's just so against the ways of the world.
I think I have so much room to grow. So much room to grow.
Me too.
But I desire so much to not just live a holy life, but have you ever been around somebody that it's such a pure atmosphere, it calls you up?
Yeah.
Be that person.
Yeah.
And so, like, I know that there's stuff that we have this thing in the church with women, and I love women, and I love church women. It's like, y'all, we need to pray for her. And then out comes the drama or the
and no
what's
prayers.
Going. Oh, they may pray, but they just wanted to share.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Stop.
Yeah.
It doesn't have to be like you. I don't like the drama announced on, don't announce somebody's drama on Facebook. Don't announce it in a prayer group unless they've given you permission and said, hey, share this. But if they haven't even given permission, be like, hey, we're going to pray for this person. They didn't tell me I can uncover them.
Yeah.
But I'm like, let's start protecting people. What does that look like if women actually start protecting women in the church?
Yeah.
And we cover each other and we allow for mistakes. You know, we all have bad days, but then we get over it.
Yeah.
And we correct it. And so there's so much to be said for this.
But with what you just said, it's not too late.
No.
Like, some of you could be like the worst friend ever. You could be like the gossip of your church. Mm-hmm. You could be the person that you feel like everybody hates. Maybe you don't know that everybody's feeling that way about you. You know, maybe you're paranoid, everybody's feeling. It is not too late for you to turn completely and fully to the Lord, to repent, to go apologize to the people you've hurt, no matter how uncomfortable it makes you, to ask the Lord to forgive you, to forgive yourself, and to be like, let people see the fruit of your life by just being the woman that is in the Word of God, that looks like Jesus. That I want you to know, if you go from like horrible friend, whatever, to incredible trustworthy person, do you understand what a testimony that is to the goodness of God? Like, that's who he is. That's who he wants to be for you. And then you're going to begin to attract the very things that you exude yourself. So that's another thing. Like, look at the people around you and who you're attracting. Because it even says in the word, Proverbs 13:20, it says, whoever walks with the wise becomes wise, but the companion of fools will suffer harm. If you're surrounded by fools, which the Bible doesn't take very gently when they use the word fools, you'll become like them.
Bad company corrupts good morals.
Yeah.
It's true.
It does.
And if I want to say this too, I'm like, if you're in that transition period and you want to go higher, you want to live set apart, sit back with the Lord and evaluate what you're around. Because a lot of times we tend to find people who are also comfortable in the same sin, so we don't feel bad.
Yeah.
So if you're a gossip, you tend to find people who also gossip, so it doesn't make you feel guilty about staying in that sin. And if you could be the catalyst for that group that changes everything, it's like, hey guys, we're not doing this anymore. We are serious, and you can be repentive and really change the atmosphere of what you're around. But if not, then you move on.
Yeah.
As hard as that may be, doesn't mean you have to drop friendships. Do not be rude. You don't have to be condescending about it. Just be loving, but you can move on from that.
Well, in Proverbs 22:24, it says, make no friendship with the man given to anger, nor go with the wrathful man, lest you learn his ways and entangle yourself in a snare. So, meaning, if you do life, if you go with somebody, if you're around somebody who's struggling with anger, you literally will entrap yourself in their snare, which anger is usually the fruit of somebody who's really hurting, offended, and hasn't taken care of it. And I just want you to know, don't you dare think for one second that you are exempt from that. Like, one little bit of yeast in your heart of offense or hurt that you don't take care of will truly, and oftentimes I will say the Holy Spirit will take care of it with me, because it's often me, not them, that's the problem when hurt or offense comes up. But sometimes I just need to go have the conversation because they need to speak into it more. But if I don't do it, it is like, it corrupts me. Yeah. It overtakes, it entangles Breeds. Me. And I will say, like, this past year I had to have one of the hardest conversations with somebody, and it took months for me to pray into it, to have the heart of God. I had to forgive 70 times 70. Like, and then after the conversation, it was so painful the way that it went, but I felt the delight of God and the way he prepared me for it. And I felt his delight in the fact that, like how the conversation went, I felt the presence of God in it, even though I was sobbing uncontrollably the whole time on mute. Like, it was really painful, but I was proud of myself for choosing God's word, dying to myself, and then even after the conversation, continuing to forgive this person and allowing the Holy Spirit, because I did in the natural what he asked me to do, even though it took me longer than it normally does to approach someone. But he's faithful to redeem and forgive. And I'm telling you, it's not easy, but you got to put in the work. Candace can't put this work in for me.
That's beautiful. I love the way that you handle hard conversations. You
it's
actually
not fun.
Could give a training and you could give a training in going to delivering hard conversations. But you seek the Lord first, and I think he goes before us on everything, especially
yeah.
stuff like that, because God loves relationships.
Yeah.
He built the family the way he did. He built the way the kingdom and the culture is set up. He built us for relationships yeah. and community.
Yeah.
And so I want to say this real, I know we're kind of winding down, but I want y'all to read Colossians 3, 12 through 17, really focus
yeah.
on, but it says, whatever you do or say, do it as a representative of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through him to God the Father.
Yeah.
So if we're supposed to be holy as he is holy, every relationship we have on this earth has to be Christ-centered, not
Come
just
on.
Your marriage, not just Come as a parent, but as your friends. If you want to have a friendship like you've never had before, center it around Christ. See what happens when you are praying and playing with the same people, you're doing life with them, you're doing Bible studies with them, and you find new revelations you're calling to share. And if your relationship starts centering around Jesus,
yeah.
it changes.
It does.
It looks amazing. It's totally different
it's so
than
easy.
Anything you've ever had.
It's so easy, we make it hard.
Yeah, it's very simple. It was always supposed to be this simple.
Yeah, and also, like, I just want to encourage you as we're wrapping up this episode. Some of the things that I want you to consider in godly friendships is, one, like, you know, have that your own oil in your own lamp.
Yes.
But here's an indicator as to where your barometer is internally, because I don't just look at the outside fruit. Like, I'm really honest with myself about thoughts I'm having towards people, myself, whatever. Did you know God can set you free from criticism and judgment toward or jealousy
wow.
or comparison?
Mm-hmm.
Like, we have an incredible episode on comparison that you need to go find that Candace talks about. But I just want you to know, you truly, like, you can tell if somebody comes, no matter how they come to you, and they share something with you that you need to grow in, and you get mad
yes.
and you don't receive it. It says in the word that those who hate sound wisdom will hate the person bringing it. Those who love correction will love the person who brings it. Be the person who loves it. I always say it hurts so good. That hurts so good. I might cry. I might hurt a little bit when somebody brings something to me. But oh, in that moment, my heart is racing because I know that they love me and they care about me. So be the one who brings the hard conversations. Let them know it makes you uncomfortable, but you're just trying to live God's word and that you love them. And that's why you're having, because you don't want to be separated from them. You don't want a wall to come up between you. But also receive. Be approachable. Be the person that is ready to receive a godly friendship. By receiving the hard, they're going to come. If you have a close friend, you're going to have hard conversations
yeah.
for sure.
I
Do
love
you have anything
that.
To add?
No, I would say to use wisdom, discernment, ask the Holy Spirit how to deliver a hard word.
Yeah.
If somebody is in that place of correction, to prepare their heart and yours.
Yeah.
Always use Corinthians 13 and the way you deliver a word. Be patient, be gentle, be kind. But also ready your heart if somebody comes to you for those hard conversations. If it hurts or you get offended, shut your mouth.
Yeah.
Let the Lord do
Come
his
on.
Work first and then address it.
Oh, that's good. How about you pray for everybody before we close out?
Yeah. Father God, I thank you so much, Lord, for every single person hearing this podcast now and years from now. Father, we bless godly friendships. And Lord, we ask that you go before us and you seek each one of these women out. Lord, prepare their hearts to be a truly godly, holy, set-apart friend. God, would you bring them women in their lives that are ready to run that race with them, that'll encourage them and spur them on and always point them back to you. Lord, I ask that you guard our hearts and our minds that we can stay pure and holy. God, free our lips from gossip and keep our minds on thoughts that are loving and kind towards others. And do not let us be corruptible or get to a place where we will compromise. God, I thank you for each one of these women, where you're setting them apart in the community that you're bringing them and the way that you're going to train them up to train others. Yeah. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you guys so much. I love this episode. We're going to have to do more because there's so much more to say about godly friendships and breaking it down more. But before you turn this off, please go subscribe, like, share with a friend. Like, hey, I want to grow in this. Hey, this is what I got from this. Do you think this is something we could talk about and grow with? Or ask the Holy Spirit for what you don't have. Ask him for the friends that you need, that you want. Yes. Call them forth. He wants this for you in Jesus' name. But we love you so much. Go to setapartwomen.co to see how you can get involved in person. Come support our ministry. God is doing radical things. See how you can join us in person or online for a monthly free mentorship calls. And then also subscribe, become a follower. We got more content for you that's free 99. Come on now. We love you, and we'll see you next week on Set Apart Women.
Bye.